Brethren, I'm deeply grateful for my calling to serve as the Young Men General President. This assignment seemed overwhelming when I received it. It has become ever more challenging as I daily gain a greater appreciation of both the marvelous future you young men can have and the obstacles you must surmount to achieve your goals. Your potential, young men, is described in a Book of Mormon phrase, the man of Christ. What is the man of Christ like? Can you deacons, teachers, or priests become such a man? Or is that something reserved for an older generation? While my formal title is Young Men General President, I hope that I'm actually presiding over a brotherhood of young men of Christ. I'd like to refer to you as young men of Christ. Even though you are young men, you are men. I pray that each of us may come to understand the Word of God, which will lead us in a straight and narrow course and help us to avoid a lot of suffering and misery in our lives. I wish to discuss one distinguishing quality of the young man of Christ. This quality was expressed in a word that I recently saw printed on a worn T-shirt from a bygone youth conference. It read, "You gotta wanna." I jokingly guessed it might be an ancient Indian word, but I asked him to explain it to me. He gave me, "You gotta be kidding" look, but condescended to answer anyway. "You gotta wanna," he said, means that you have to want to do something before you will do it. Of course, I knew that all along, but it was good to hear him say it. Whoever planned that youth conference had the right idea. You gotta wanna capture several important gospel principles. There is a great sermon in that. It reminds me of one of the qualities of Godhood. "And there is nothing that the Lord thy God shall take in his heart to do, but what he will do it." Isn't it wonderful that we can trust our Father in heaven to do what he says he will do? There are two elements to this principle. First, God takes something into his heart. When we take something into our hearts, it usually means that we feel something. This is the spirit of revelation. It gives an intense feeling of peacefulness or well-being. President Marion G. Romney said that it comes into our minds and feelings and induces us to do what is right. It leads us to do good. How many of you have heard an inspiring thought, hymn, or story, and then had a desire to do something good? This is not unusual. It is a healthy spiritual feeling that is essential to our progress. But how often have you followed through on those feelings? This brings us to the second part of the equation. When God takes it into his heart to do something, whatever it is, he does it. It has been said, our feelings were given us to excite to action. And when they end in themselves, they are cherished to no good purpose. This means that once we have felt something, we must act in order to hold on to those feelings we experience. Elder Joseph B. Worthen noted that individuals who do right and hunger and thirst after righteousness get and keep alive through their actions the feeling to do right. In contrast, those who do not act out their righteous desires place themselves in a dangerous position. As C.S. Lewis said, the more often a person feels without acting, the less he will be able ever to act, and in the long run, the less he will be able to feel. You gotta wanna also helps us understand the principle of agency. Youth with sincere desires take initiative. They do good things without waiting to be told. They do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness. They act rather than wait to be acted upon. They are in control of themselves. Such control is a wonderful feeling. It is a feeling we get when we exercise one of our most precious gifts, that of free agency. You gotta wanna also shows an attitude of faith. Desire is the beginning of faith. The Lord will bless you even if you can no more than desire to believe. If we let it, this desire will grow into a mature faith that can make things happen. What we desire will ultimately help determine our eternal judgment. Alma said that God granteth unto men according to their desire, whether it be unto death or unto life. Desires change during our lives, sometimes dramatically and quickly, and sometimes gradually. Elder Packer once quoted Lady Astor, who said, "I always dreaded growing old, because then you can't do all the things you want to. But it isn't so bad, you don't want to." Be aware that things that seem all important to you now will not matter in years to come. But you can choose now to want things that are in harmony with eternity. For example, you can choose to be righteous rather than waste your time on perishable things. You can choose to serve willingly rather than selfishly. Elder Marion D. Hanks has often quoted the wise saying that the things that matter most must not be at the mercy of things that matter least. The choices we make in this life have a very important influence on our eternity. Proper worship illustrates how you gotta wanna works. For example, how many of you have assumed the board position during sacrament meeting? You know the position. Bent forward at the waist, chin resting on hands, elbows on knees, staring vacantly at the floor. Has it occurred to you that it is your choice whether the meeting is interesting or not? Several years ago, I heard about a good brother who described his attitude as President David O. McKay gave the concluding talk of a general conference. It was a sultry afternoon, and this was the fifth session he had attended. He was sitting in the balcony, and his mind had a serious wandering problem. He noticed a man sitting in the middle section who had fallen asleep, with his head tilted back and his mouth open. It occurred to him that if he were in the roof of the tabernacle, he could drop a spit wad through one of those vent holes right into the mouth of that sleeping man. What a glorious thought. Following the meeting, he overheard two men talking about their feeling during President McKay's talk. They were visibly moved by what they had heard. He thought to himself, "These two brethren were having a marvelous experience, and what was I doing, thinking about dropping spit wads from the ceiling?" President Kimball said that worship is an individual responsibility, and regardless of what is said from the pulpit, if one wishes to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, he may do so. If the service is a failure to you, you have failed. No one can worship for you. You must do your own waiting upon the Lord. One youth described how he first experienced the spirit of worship. He had been marginally active through his Aaronic priesthood years. When he attended sacrament meeting, he usually sat in the back with a group of his friends, and he was less than the model of reverence. One day, however, he came in a little late, and there were no seats by his friends. He sat alone, and for the first time in his life, he closed his eyes during the prayers. He sang the hymns. He listened to the sacrament prayers, and he paid attention to the speakers. About midway through the first speaker, he found tears welling up in his eyes. With some embarrassment, he carefully glanced around. No one else seemed emotional. He didn't know for sure what was happening to him, but the experience changed his life. It was during that meeting that he really started his spiritual preparation for his mission. He felt something, and fortunately he acted and thus sustained those feelings. I want to especially emphasize one important desire you should cultivate. You gotta wanna keep yourself pure and free from immoral conduct. Your physical passions can be powerful. Young men, choose to bridle them. You can control them. I hope you will cultivate the desire to honor young women. Elder Ballard told us during last October General Conference that young women want to be treated with courtesy. The standards outlined in the pamphlet for the strength of youth are of great value. These church standards will become your standards when you really cherish them, when you feel something about their value, and when you act in accordance with them. Yes, you gotta wanna live these standards. When you are pure in your heart, when you desire that which is good, true, and beautiful, then you can avoid the pitfalls of life. If you build your foundation upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, then the devil shall have no power over you. You can also be an influence for good, so that the gospel message will shine through your countenance. I recently heard of a young woman who invited a group of her friends to bring their dates to her home after a dance. One couple stopped on the way to pick up a videotape to watch. As they played it, the group realized it was an R-rated movie. This young woman became disturbed and excused herself to talk to her parents. They reminded her that R-rated movies are not shown in their home and suggested that someone should turn it off. The young woman courageously said she would do it, and she did. Everyone seemed relieved. This is a simple incident, but it illustrates a point. A young woman who wanted to be good acted on her desires, and a whole group of youth were spared a little bit of evil. Repeated many times over, until it becomes a pattern, such actions can be an influence that will spread through the church and through society. I ask you, young men of Christ, to cultivate, to cherish, and to maintain righteous desires. You gotta wanna? That's the key to action. It's the key to happiness. It's the key to worshiping the Lord, to developing faith, and to maintaining standards of purity. I promise you that the Lord will bless you with right attitudes and desires as you pray to Him, attend to your duties, keep the commandments, and serve Him. Then you young men will truly be men of Christ, to which I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.